Brad Locke.
And I'm Gene Phelps, and this is Prep Rally.
We're talking Northeast Mississippi High School sports, brought to you by the Daily Journal and DJournal.com. Hey, everybody. Welcome into a new episode of Prep Rally, a high school sports podcast produced by the Daily Journal and DJournal.com, coming to you every Wednesday to talk about high school sports in Northeast Mississippi. I'm your host, Brad Locke, along with Gene Phelps, senior writer for the Journal. How you doing, Gene? Have fun. Little mini vacation last week?
I did. It was mini.
Well, it's better than nothing. So, we didn't have a show last week. So, we're back this week, though. And, you know, everything's done with for this school year. Softball and baseball recently wrapped up. All the spring sports are done. Nothing till August when slow pitch and then football kick back into gear. Doesn't mean there isn't stuff to talk about. We're going to try to have a show every week throughout the summer. We'll miss occasionally with the people going out of town. Like next week, Gene will take, a full week's vacation. And I'll be gone at some point in July. But we're going to try to keep it going. There's still stuff going on. I got some coaching news, a lot of coaching news, actually, to talk about on the show today. Quick reminder to follow the show on Twitter at DJournalPreps. And keep up with us there. And, of course, you can keep up with everything going on with the Daily Journal at DJournal now. This is a podcast and a webcast, by the way. If you want to watch the replay, you can catch it at djournal.com. If you just want to listen to it, you can listen to the podcast, which will drop later today. Listen for free on iTunes, your podcast app, or at preprally.djournal.com. Let's get to it, Gene. Coaching news. You got some basketball coaching moves going on here. Still a few months until the season starts. Grant Gardner back at Nettleton, Gene. That's where he coached for several years back when I was covering the prep beat for the Journal. And I spent some time at Ripley, and now he's back.
Yeah, Grant was at Nettleton for almost nearly a decade, 9 years, and left to take the Ripley job, replaced Harvey Childers there, and worked there for 5 seasons, did a great job there. I think he wanted to get out of coaching there for about a year and kind of reassess things. He wound up in Belmont, where he was an assistant coach in baseball last year.
Yeah, so he wasn't on the court last year, was he?
Right, and his brother Guy coaches the Belmont team. Sure. So after kind of a one-year self-imposed exodus from basketball, Grant Gardner returns to Nettleton, and they welcomed him back, I believe. And he's excited about being back. He was talking about building relationships when you get a new job. And he said, most of my relationships are still there in the community. It's building relationships with his new players.
Yeah, that's the thing. He's got the support structure, and he's going to have, you know, just got to get to know the players, and I'm sure he'll have a good team. They got some good athletes over there.
They always do in basketball at Nettleton, and I think they'll be very competitive, and I think you might see Grant taking a team to Jackson here a couple of years.
Yeah, well, he did it when I was covering the beat. Jeremy Word and some of those guys had some awfully good teams there in Nettleton. So Grant Gardner back there. Grant Goolsby, he's the new head coach at Baldwin, and this is his first head coaching job. A little bit surprising to see Raymond Craven step down after 2 years, wasn't it?
It was, because Raymond was the coach in waiting behind Jason McKay for like 9 seasons as an assistant. And when Jason stepped down to become full-time superintendent in Baldwin Schools, Raymond Craven took over. Had a very impressive record the last 2 seasons. I believe they made it to the state quarters and state semis. He won like 50-something games, lost 7 combined. And he's assistant superintendent. And he told me he just had some young children. He wanted to be able to have the opportunity to coach them, go watch them play in sports. Yeah. And to be able to do that, you can't be a basketball coach, because that's just about a full-time job from probably October all the way through March.
Yeah.
And then you have the summertime too, where now everybody's playing the summer basketball leagues and things. You got to stay up, so you got to play. So that was a move on his part to go full-time administration. And Grant Goolsby, for the last 5 years, has been an assistant coach. He was last year at Ingemar with
Jonathan Ashley.
Good person to mentor.
Yeah.
But have a mentor of or following up on. And then you've got He was at Oxford with Drew Tyler for 4 years prior to that.
Yeah. So those are two of the best coaches in the area.
Right.
Hands plus, down, two of the best you know, programs.
And we both covered his dad, Barry Goolsby.
Yeah, Barry Goolsby, former coach at Myrtle. And I believe coached him, coached Grant when he played at Myrtle. Grant was a guard, a really good player for some good Myrtle teams 9-10 years ago.
Yeah, and I think over the years, Jason McKay is really a good basketball man. He's always looking at young talent, and he likes to look at young coaches and see how they handle their players and things. And Grant Goolsby was one of those guys. He's kind of kept under watch and had him in his index file, as they say. I don't know if you keep those anymore. He's had him in his smartphone.
There you go.
And when Craven decided to step down, I think Goolsby was one of the two or three people he called.
Yeah, yeah. And this will, again, be his first head coaching job. Makes me feel old that he's now a head coach, Gene. Again, I covered him when he was at Myrtle. Really good player.
Good outside shooter.
Great outside shooter. And also a really intense competitor and a guy who you could tell just really wanted to win and put in the work. Probably would be defined as a gym rat and seemed to have a really good basketball mind, too.
Yeah, he's really smart. He graduated with honors from Ole Miss, too.
That's right. So, that's right.
Good student of the game.
Yeah.
Good combination.
And then we've got, sticking in Prentice County, up in Neusite, Rick Howell back on the sidelines, Gene. The people who know anything about Hill Country basketball know the name Rick Howell. And now he's back after, I guess, a one-year hiatus.
Yeah, Rick couldn't stay away. I believe this will be his 35th or 36th season coaching. Probably his longest tenure was at Boonville. He was there, his son Mitch was telling me the other day, I think 15 years.
Yeah, yeah. Mitch played for him there.
Mitch played for him, and Mitch is the coach at Wheeler now. Rick has also done a stint at Wheeler and coached against That's Mitch right. when he was coaching Thrasher.
I remember that.
Also in Prentice County.
Yeah.
It just so happened that Larry Johnson, who's a veteran coach, has been around for years, stepped down and finally retired this year, wanted to retire, and had built a little strong program there at Neusite for the boys. Did a really good job the last 2 years with that Neusite boys program. And now Larry stepped aside and fully retired, and they were wondering what they were going to do. They, at one time, there was a chance that Byron Sparks, the successful girls coach who built that girls program from zero to state contender, was going to have to wind up coaching boys too. And then Rick Howell stepped in, and he said he's got 4, 5, 6, as he said, good years left in him.
Yeah.
And he wants to win a state championship, and he likes what he sees at Neusite.
Yeah, I mean, we know about the Neusite girls, but yeah, the Neusite boys definitely have made some progress. So he's stepping into a pretty good situation. And one more quick coaching move on the basketball court that we just learned about today: Brady Ramey. He's back. He's back after a bit of a hiatus as well.
Right, Brady has coached at Itawamba AHS and Tremont. He's also been a principal the last 3 or 4 years at Tremont. When the job came open. I believe maybe Brian Pearson, he moved to Amory. And decided to take over. He's also going to help one of his former players coach the girls team too.
Right.
And so Brady Ramey back in basketball said he missed it. It was one of the things he enjoyed working with players and trying to build character and build teamwork and help them, you know, progress as young men, young women. So, Brady Ramey back.
There you go. And now to football. I guess a couple of coaching moves on the gridiron. Amory's got a new coach, Alan Glenn, who is actually an Amory alum and former Tupelo assistant.
He is. Alan worked for 2 years with Trent Hammond. Almost said Trent Harmon.
Nah.
singing in a duet throughout Northeast Mississippi. No, Alan Glenn was offensive coordinator along with John Keith. Mm-hmm. 2 years ago and then last year too, they kind of split those duties. And then Alan was going to be the assistant head coach this season for Harmon. That was a role John Keith had filled before he went to Morville to become head coach there. So Alan Glenn, a former Amory player for Bobby Hall and the offensive center for Will Hall, the quarterback,
Yeah, that's right.
Is the West Georgia coach, I believe.
I think that's where he is now, or West Alabama.
Oh my goodness. I think it was West Georgia. Went from West Georgia, West Alabama, West Georgia. Anyway, Will's out there coaching, and he's really successful as a player and a coach. But Alan Glenn, back coaching his alma mater. I'm sure he was one of the first persons that was called for that job when it became
available. He worked for a guy like Trent Hammond, who himself was at Amory at one time, was the Amory head coach before coming to Tupelo. And so he's certainly had someone good to work under there.
That's a good mix too. And he's, you know, Allen's an offensive guy. We laughed earlier today about the fact that he said there were going to be multiple. Every coach will tell you that. They'll also tell you they're going to work with the personnel they've got. Well, he's got some good personnel starting at quarterback. He's got Z Gates returning. And Z was injured last year in about the third or fourth game of the season, got knocked out with a knee injury. He's back. He told me that he was full speed and ready to go, and he gives them the Panthers a very talented player to build an offense around. So things looking up for Amory.
And then in Corinth, Doug Jones recently departed, and as of right now, we don't know of a new hire that they've made. I'm sure that'll happen soon, but he's headed down to Madison County.
Yeah, going into administration, going to be a seventh grade assistant principal down there. See a lot of these young coaches going into administration these days.
Yeah,
Doug coached in the Madison system at Madison Central with Bobby Hall. He was an assistant. Of course, Doug played at Amory for Bobby Hall.
There you go.
You know, and a lot of people thought when that job came open, maybe that Doug Jones would be in line for that, but Doug had his sights set on administrative position. So he leaves Corinth, and that was somewhat of a surprise to me.
Yeah, but you see that a lot with some of these young coaches. They just, you know, it's better pay and better hours to be in administration. So it's kind of hard to blame them for doing that. Then you've got guys like Rick Howell who just can't ever satisfy that itch. They just got to keep scratching it. So that's the coaching moves there in football. And before we finish up the show, we do want to touch on a little bit, and we've touched on it before, but all area baseball and all area softball, the Daily Journal putting together these teams every year. And Gene, you've got I guess you've got most of the work actually done by this point. So all area baseball, I mentioned this before, I haven't even watched any of these guys hardly, but I've been following our coverage very closely all year. And of course we had five state champions. Right. I feel like I could pretty much name you a first team off the top of my head.
Sure,
and so,
you
know, it wouldn't be giving anything away, for instance, to talk about guys like Thomas Dillard at Oxford. You know, he's going to be a first team.
16 home runs.
Yeah.
A serious candidate for Daily Journal player of the year.
And you could see him playing in the big league someday.
He's one of those guys. You can look at him and just size him up and say, hey,
yeah,
you might be watching this guy playing for the Rockies or somebody.
Yeah, exactly. Some other names, Gene, that
of course, Jason Barber was the player of the year for the Journal last year, the guy that had the 0.00 ERA for Oxford last year and was Gatorade Player of the Year. He was equally impressive this year. His ERA was still under one, and I think he was like 12-1 or 11-1 pitching. And was Gatorade Player of the Year, I believe. I've said that already.
But, yeah, 2 years in a row.
That's pretty impressive. At Ripley, you got a catcher, Tucker Childers. A lot of people tell me you can't put out a Daily Journal first team without putting the catcher from Ripley. I've even talked to some umpires that called games behind him, and they were surprised that he was a high school player.
Really?
Like,
check that birth certificate.
And one of the umpires I talked with was a former catcher, and he went, my goodness, that guy, he's good.
Yeah.
You've got Jason Garrett, the left-hander from Tupelo. Jason signed with the University of Memphis. I think we're going to hear a lot big. I think Jason's best days are ahead of him. Throws really hard. He's a left-hander. Hope he has success at the University of Memphis. Of course, you got Jacob Wilcher, that everybody around here knows if you follow baseball. He's signed with Ole Miss, committed to Ole Miss when he was a sophomore from Kossuth. He's a three-time state champion, former Daily Journal Player of the Year as a sophomore, an outfielder, Jacob Wilcher. So he's one of the – and Denver McQuarrie.
Yeah, got a couple of Houston guys you got to look at.
Denver McQuarrie, a pitcher, infielder, shortstop. They used him a lot in relief this year. Got down to the championship game. He wanted the ball. The series split. I was trying to interview Scott Gann, the coach, and Denver's up there going, coach, give me the ball. And he gave him the ball the next day, and he struck out 13, helped him win the school's first state championship in baseball. He's going to Mississippi State to play baseball.
Right, right.
And Luke Hancock, a sophomore catcher, another great catcher in the area. This kid's a sophomore.
From Houston.
Wound up batting about 540 with five home runs, really effective behind the plate. He's already a star, but you can call him a star for the future.
Yeah, and to do that in 4A, which is really tough this year. I mean, you know, we're doing two teams, nine players each team, so it makes it exclusive, which makes it, to me, more prestigious. And when you're picking this team, Gene, you know, you want to pick the best players, certainly, mm-hmm. but you also, I think, and I think you do this, you take into account what they did against the competition they played against, and, you know, in the context of what classification they play in. Like, you don't want to necessarily punish a kid for dominating in 1A. You're like, oh, well, maybe he couldn't cut it in 6A. You don't know that.
Right. And, of course, you don't want to punish kids. You know, this year, having five state champions, my theory was every team's got at least two good players. And then you look at, if you want a state championship, and then you got Oxford and Houston and Kossuth probably have four or five really good players. Yeah, I mean, I know Oxford's got five really good ones. Houston's four and five.
Right.
I'm sure, you know, and Kossuth has got three. Jacob Welcher's younger brother, Nick, is as good as anybody I named today. And he's just a sophomore.
Yeah.
So a lot of really good baseball players. We're going to have a very representative team. Yep. It's almost put together its entirety. I keep looking over it. We haven't exactly picked a date. I know people want to know when it's coming out. A lot of it depends on our space, our ad space and things. So be patient. It'll come out. We'll have it out before Labor Day, I assure you.
Well, I
and
hope so.
But it's ready to go almost. And I'm proud of the players that we've selected, and I've talked with coaches, and I've talked with other writers who covered people this year. So I think we'll have you're always going to leave somebody off.
Yeah, it happens, but that's okay. And softball, we got an all area softball team to put together. A lot of good players again this year. Had a couple of state champs, Morville and Smithville, was it?
Yeah, Smithville. Yeah. And we've got Angel Guyton, shortstop and pitcher from Smithville, who was our player of the year last year as a sophomore.
Yeah, so she's a candidate.
She's a candidate for player of the year. She's definitely a first team all area. I'll just go ahead and tell you that right now. As is Hallie Donald and Summer Crider from Morville.
Yeah.
They're the Bash sisters. I mean, they hit home runs left and right. I think I called Summer Crider the toy cannon one time.
That's toy
that
cannon.
Jimmy Wynn that used to play for the Houston Astros.
Oh, yeah.
She's got the swing.
Yeah.
And she can put one out of the park. East Union had a couple of really good players, Tiana Castillo and Callie Frazier. Like to mention them. Harley Mullins, a really good pitcher, a junior from Saltillo, is another player to watch.
Yeah.
She was a great one to watch this year. She'd be even better next year.
Right.
And so a lot of good softball players in Northeast Mississippi. We had two state champions. We had three teams play for the championship.
All right. Now we're going to do Athletes of the Week, which I know I said a couple of weeks ago we were done with that until things kicked back up in August. But then, you know, looked back at all the all-star events we had last week and was like, you know what? We had a lot of area kids playing those, had a lot of area kids do well. So we'll do one more Athletes of the Week here before we get deep into the summer. So who we got, Gene, female and male?
I've got the Tiana Castillo from East Union.
Mm-hmm.
I mentioned her as one of the better softball players in the area. She did sign to play softball at Northeast Community College next year. She participated in nine activities this past year,
wow,
her senior year. That included cheerleading and palm squad, but she was on fast pitch, slow pitch, basketball. She was pole vaulter on the track team. She was a state champion power lifter in her class, 148 pounds, and just a really remarkable athlete. Tried to do it all this year. Was really successful in just about every one of her endeavors. She's played her final basketball game, we think, last week. You never know with her. In the NIMCAB basketball games up at Boonville High School. She scored 13 points, had seven rebounds, blocked two shots, and was named the defensive MVP of the game.
Okay. Male Athlete of the Week, Gene.
We mentioned this guy's name earlier, Kossuth outfielder Jacob Welcher, an Ole Miss signee, went 3-for-4 with three RBIs for the North 3A, 4A All-Stars in last weekend's Diamond Club All-Star game in Pearl.
So there you go.
A good finish to a high school career for Jacob Welcher.
Indeed. So congrats to the prep rally athletes of the week. And that's it for this edition of Prep Rally. Thanks to everyone for tuning in. Again, if you missed some of the webcast here and want to rewatch it, we'll have it there at djournal.com. Just watch the replay. And again, it's a podcast as well. You can listen for free on iTunes, your podcast app, or at preprally.djournal.com. Find us on Twitter at djournalpreps. I'm on Twitter at Brad Locke. Gene's on Twitter at Gene Phelps. I probably won't have a show next week with Gene being on vacation, but hopefully the week after that. But we'll have to see how it goes. We might have one with me and a guest host. We'll have to see as well. Stay tuned for that. Until then, thanks for watching. Thanks for listening.